Well, okay, are you ready for a great sermon? Well, come join us next week. Hey, I do have something that I want to communicate tonight. This, I got to tell you, this sounds self-serving, but I just thought we had a fabulous service this morning. I thought it was just wonderful how the Lord just honored all of us by just stepping into our world. And that was just fabulous, and I so enjoyed that. When things like that happen, there's usually two things that we usually as a response do that. We usually want to just stay right there, and there's nothing wrong with that. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, you had, you know, Peter, John, James, and John, and they're sitting there, and Jesus turned into this white glowing being, if you will. God was there, you know, a couple of the prophets showed up, and they just said, you know, let's just stay right here. And everybody really does. They want to stay right there. That's really, really cool. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you can't stay there because that's not where we're designed to be. And Jesus said, we got a lot more to go do, and so they didn't stay there. The other thing is you try to recreate it. How can we go from where we are and make sure that that happens again? Well, duplication is not the process there. You know, you can't just carbon copy that. You know, in other words, if I preach the same message next week, that's just not going to work. That's not what we do. But we do take steps to go where we want to be, and that's what tonight's message is all about, is taking those next steps. This morning, if it was this morning, or it may have been something else that has happened, and there's a place that you want to go, usually more specifically spiritually, there's a place that you want to go in your life, getting those steps and the first step you take and then the next step and getting from here to there is very difficult for some of us. I don't know if you're like me, but some of you, have you ever, you know, like just bitten off too much to chew, you know, and you just find yourself just overwhelmed by this task? What do you do when that happens? Usually you shut down. You just don't know what to do. Or you have this task to do, if you will, this objective, and it just seems so huge and so big, and it'll never be accomplished. You just don't even want to start. And the sad thing is that God does something really dynamic in a lot of our lives continuously, but because we don't know what the next step is, or we don't identify the next step we're supposed to take, we usually sit right there, and this was wonderful, but we never move from it. And the problem is this, is that God didn't design us for right now, forever, ever, ever. It's for right now and for the next right now, for the next right now, for the next right now. And on down the road, he's going to do things because we're moving, not because we're sitting, okay? So let's do that tonight. That's what I want to talk about is next steps. So how do you get from here to there? I know it's an old phrase, but it makes a lot of sense. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Really, to be honest with you, the whole idea seems pretty disgusting, you know, but I understand what the emphasis is. You know, if you're gonna bite off something really big, you just got to do it one at a time. We were out here yesterday, you know, we had a lot of leaves and things that were out here. We had 150 bags of mulch that was delivered, and so we had all of this stuff, and you know what? You just got to pick it up a bag at a time, and you got to spread it, and whether you got a rake or you get your hands, and you spread that stuff, and you go on to the next bag. You know, it's called taking one bag at a time. That's what we did. Or, you know, all those leaves. There were times where, you know, you wish you could just kind of grab it all up. And I saw every now and then that's what you do. You see a big pile, you go, I'm just going to get all of it, and you just grab it. And you always leave remnants of the leaves, so you have to give some more trips. That's okay. It's not a failure. It's just going to take more than one attempt, but because you just go one step at a time, you're finally going to get there. However, we like to move in leaps and bounds, don't we? We want huge things to change, you know. It's amazing. We have this little chart in our house where you measure your growth, and it's a cute little chart. It has little animated, you know, things on it and stuff like that because it's for Mabry Ellen. But when I was little, there was this wall right there next to the telephone. And all of us were on there, six kids, and they were just line after line after line. So when you get tall enough, you know, you get to measure and all this other stuff. And it was really kind of cool to see yourself move up the wall. You remember that? Well, y'all didn't do that? Are you kidding me? This was awesome. And you're always trying to cheat by putting your legs up just a little bit, and your mom would slap you on the head. You know, it was just, but it was a really cool thing to see that line move. And that's the way that we're built. But too often our experience has been not that, because guess what? Physically, you know what? You don't go more, you go less. Isn't it amazing? The older you get, you start getting a little shorter. I used to be 6'4", ladies and gentlemen. At least in my mind, I used to, you know what? In the program at Troy State University, I was listed at 5'10". I don't know where they came from. I probably lied to them. They probably just asked me or whatever. I don't think I've ever been anything close. I've been somewhere between 5'8" and 5'9" or whatever, you know. But you know what? I'm scared to measure myself again. Next thing you know, I'm just going to be... But spiritually, that doesn't have to happen. There are some things that cannot progress past a certain point in the physical and in the natural, but the spiritual, it will never, ever, ever be contained in those prospects, in the prospects, unless you limit it yourself. Who were the two spies in the Old Testament? It was Joshua and who? Caleb. How old was Caleb when he took the land? 85 years old. He said, I'm still good to go. He said, I'm still good for battle. And the guy was 85 years old. So we can't ever stop right there. Psalms, the 37th chapter, verse 23, says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. So we're going to talk about steps to represent many things tonight, okay? So let's talk about it. First of all, what I want to line out is some things that are just very, very common sense for us. So the first thing we say is this. Steps are practical. They're practical. They make sense. These are things that we can useful. They're useful. They're things you can do. You know, when somebody gives me an assignment and I'm going, I can't do that. Why did you give me the assignment? It's impossible. So the insurmountable is already there. Not because I've built up in my mind a defeat mentality. It can't be done. It's a physical limitation or something like that. So therefore, it can't be done. I'm not talking about a David and Goliath moments. I'm not talking about the times when the Holy Spirit could just make you stronger than you ever thought. I'm talking about when I'm going to take a step and it's not practical, then I shut down. But what steps that we should take are the ones that make sense. They are doable, if you will. So this is more about the steps that we are ordering and not the ones that God has said, thus saith the Lord, go do this. Because what does he say? The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. It doesn't mean that you're sitting around waiting for him to say it. You know what to do. Let's take charge and let's take the next step toward what God wants you to do. But those steps need to be something. And the first thing is they need to be practical. Too often when we want to do something for God, it doesn't make sense. It's bigger than what we can really do. It's not really us, and we bite off more than we can chew. And it ends up being a spiritual failure in our minds instead of a spiritual victory. The problem is we like those leaps and bounds. I love the word revival. And in the secret parts of our hearts, all of us love the word revival. We love, you know, to hear that the Holy Spirit's just really going to pour out on us today. But you know, the things in between all of those very wonderful, godly moments is the steps that we take, and that's what we need to do. Does this sound practical to lose 10 pounds in a week? No, not unless you're getting liposuction. You can do that in 30 minutes. You know, 10 pounds in a week, come on. But there's people, they get all excited. There's something coming up. There's an event. They want to lose weight, and they want to look, get in there, this one outfit or whatever, and they do all this other stuff. Here's the problem. It's not practical. So number one, it can't be done. And number two, it's not going to be sustained. So it doesn't make sense. So why do we do things like that? Instead, we need to do the practical, the things that make sense. Because you know what? God always makes sense. Will you please say that with me? God always makes sense. So if you're going to do something, you don't care how excited you are. If it doesn't make sense in the economy of God, then don't do it. Do what God tells you to do and make it a step, not a big leap or bound. Number two is it's possible. This can be done. You can wrap your mind around it. Spiritually, physically, or otherwise, you can wrap your mind around it and say, this can happen. Because, you know, I know that we serve the God of the impossible, but the steps that we are supposed to take most of the time need to make sense to us, but they need to be things that are possible. It's okay if it's been done before. It's okay if somebody else did it and you're doing it because they set the example of it's possible. You know, sometimes other people's successes are gives us the reason, it opens the door for us to have a success. Most of the learning that you and I have is by example. Because we see somebody else do it, we do it. You know, there was that time, I forget who the guy was. He was from England, but he broke the four-minute mile for the first time ever in existence. And everybody said there'll never be a human that will run the mile in less than 4 minutes, and he did it. And guess what? It's normal now. I mean, there's people all over the world that have bust a four-minute mile. I mean, there's a lot of common people that do that now. You know why? Because somebody did it once, made it possible. There we go. Philippians 4:18 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These are the things that are possible. Yeah, well, it sure beats I can't do it. Because God says you can do it through my son Jesus Christ who will give you the strength to do it. When I was growing up, my mom all used to say, can't, never, could. So when you live in this defeated world, you're not even going to start. But the next steps that we need to take are the ones that just make sense. I can't lose weight. I can't read my Bible in a year. I can't grow spiritually. But I'm telling you, through God, you can do an awful lot of things, okay? Here's the next one, number three. Not only are they practical and possible, but it's probable. It's probable. You really think this thing is going to happen. This is probably going to happen. You know, and when you start getting your mind around it, you're going, you know what? I just anticipate that happening. This is a pretty good idea versus the rare occurrence. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come to Sunday school, when we come to church, the minute we go to a prayer meeting, the minute you get out on your knees and pray, we need to start thinking about the probable things that God wants to do instead of, I hope he does. You know what? God wants to anoint you just as much in your private prayer closet moments as he does when we're collectively in here worshiping him in settings like this. God wants to move in your life in every setting, doesn't matter what it is. So the next time we come to church, let's go, you know what? I bet probably God's going to do something really cool today. And I just want to be a part of that. I just want to be a little bit a part of that. You see, God has built every one of us to be expecting growth and progress. It's just a part of us. We want things to expand. We want things to get better. So let's look at what it says in 2 Peter 3:18. It says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So since steps are expected, they're natural, they're anticipated, we're often disappointed when they don't happen. So let's not be the kind of people that are surprised when it does happen. Let's be disappointed when it doesn't happen. Because we have an expectation. This is probably going to happen. So if it doesn't happen, we're going, wow, you know, I missed that. I don't know. How many of you are birthday people? You really celebrate birthdays? You expect everybody in your family to, you know, bring their world to a screeching halt and tell you happy birthday? You know, some of you are like that. You're a little needy, you know, insecure, that kind of thing. Well, at our house, you know, we're starting to think now that we have grandchildren, maybe we should start honoring those kind of days. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. But, you know, there are some people that, man, I'm telling you what, they just work it up to it. It's worse than Christmas. They're expecting all of these things, you know, because they think it's probably going to happen. And how disappointed they are when you don't. How many of you men out there have missed an anniversary? I don't blame you. I'd keep that to myself, too. Because sometimes, I mean, you know, if you miss an anniversary, it's not, this is probably going to happen. I know exactly what's going to happen. It's amazing how these things go. So you know what? Let's build up that expectation because God has built us this way. Joyce Meyer said this, thank God I am not where I used to be, but I am also not where I need to be. Thank God I'm not back there, but I know I'm not where I'm going to go and where I need to be and where God wants to take me. That's called those things that we expect, and that's built out of a probability. When you go to church, do you expect God to do something? I hope you do. Because he's expecting you to show up because he wants to do something really cool. Next time you go to prayer, whether it's tonight, tomorrow morning, your devotion, do you expect God to do something really cool in that? Or are you just going to clock in, here's your scripture, here's your time in prayer, go off to work? Because that's a sad existence right there. It makes us feel pretty good. We did our homework. You know, if somebody checks our homework, we did it. But no, it's something more than that we need to build into our lives. The fourth thing is this. It is progressive. The steps we take are progressive. Progressive. They are heading us toward better conditions. Now, if I asked you to go to your car right now, you would stand up and you would begin taking steps toward your car. I don't know any of you, and I would love to see this if you try it, that you would start jumping and leaping and bounding for your car. That would just be hilarious. You're just like a human, you know, what are those animals? Kangaroo type thing, bing, bing, you know. And here's the funny thing about that. It's not natural. The second thing is you look really funny. And you can't sustain that kind of life. But the steps we're talking about are progressive. You go, takes me this far, and then this far, and then this far. And we tend to discount it as no big deal because it's not big, it's not flashy, nobody clapped for it. But you know what it did? It moved me from here to there. And those are the kind of steps that we're wanting to have in our life. Now, let me make a big qualification here. We're looking for progress through this, okay? Not progress by digress, because that's the other. We're sometimes if we don't go forward, we go backwards. But sometimes it's not because of the not tech that we're not going forward, but we digress. We get off to the side. We get diverted, and we start chasing some rabbit trail, or we get off the main course here. Route here, and we get distracted. Can I just tell you, Satan, for the most part, loves to get you off onto something that is irrelevant and no big deal, because he knows he probably can't get you over into something that is extremely sinful and evil. But if he can get you distracted, then he's got you there. So sometimes we digress. We get off of the main course, and we need to get right back where everybody wants us, where God wants us to be, because everybody wants to get better rather than worse. We just sometimes don't know how to do it. So we need to ask ourselves two questions. Here they go. Number one, where do you want to go? Because we're going to take progressive steps. Where do you want to go? If I asked you to go to a certain door here, I would have identified that door. You would know where to go if you were going to follow my instructions. Pretty simple. The second question is, how are you going to get there? Most of us have an idea. There's something that God has planted in all of us that we want this wonderful life in Christ. We want him to do fabulous things in our life. We want to be obedient. We want to be rewarded for loving him and serving him. But the problem is we don't know how to get there. So what we do is we do what we've always done, and we become good church people, and we have our routines, but we don't find ourselves growing. And that's where we get stagnant. And nobody wants to be there. So the first thing we need to answer is, what is your goal? The second thing is, how are you going to get there, are the steps that you're going to take? Let me give you a couple examples. If you want your marriage to get better, pretty good goal, but what are you going to do? Are you going to start with better communication, which is listening as well as speaking? Whatever, I don't know. Do you want to read your Bible better? Well, that's a pretty good goal, but do you have a plan that will get you into a structured accountability to where you're getting and applying that thing where you're reading your Bible every day? Do you want to be healthier? Well, that's a pretty good goal, but your steps need to be that you need to create areas of discipline that are going to take you there. Proverbs 16:9 says this, a man's heart plans his way. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So guess what? God has put you in the driver's seat saying, where do you want to go? We get to answer that question. We really do. But then God steps in there and says, you know what? I will direct your steps. I think that's pretty cool, because God's going to honor the desires of our heart if we really want them. The fifth thing is this. They are powerful. These steps are powerful. You know what that means? It represents accomplishment. Something was accomplished by taking these steps. You know, if I take enough steps, if I look back, I realize I have gone from here to there. You know, it's amazing how too often we look at things as these massive growth spurts in our life, or this huge distance, if you will, in a physical sense. We left here and we're in another state. You know, we instead of just realizing, you know what, if we would just be faithful, if we would just keep going, we're going to get there. Because God just needs us to keep putting one foot in front of the other, and that's more important than even reaching the goal. Because sometimes most of us don't even get to the finish because we never started, or God forbid that we quit. Steps are powerful because they can be measured. They can be a sense of accomplishment. Remember the thing I was telling you about on the wall where you start measuring how tall you are? You begin to see your goal. There's a lot of pride that comes up. You're going, I'm getting bigger. How many of you have ever read a book and you dog-ear the book when you quit reading? Anybody know what that is? Yeah, of course you do. You know, isn't it cool? I'm not a big book person. I got to tell you, if it doesn't have pictures, I have a hard time starting. But you read the book, and it's just terrible to admit. Somebody will say, oh, you got to read this book. I'll pick up the book, and I'll flip right to the back and go, 295 pages. Oh, dear God. You know, I'm thinking, this will take a year. You know, and I'm sorry, quit pointing over here. See, I am defeated before we even get started. You know, whenever I go to a movie, I'm sorry, I'm an assembly of God, I don't go to movies, but whenever I rent a movie or a movie comes on TV, I look and see how much time it's going to take. You know, isn't that a terrible way to go? 295 pages. But I'm going to tell you, when I start reading and I put a little marker there, where I'm going, look at that. I get so excited. I celebrate more about how far I've read than I am the material that I'm reading. That's a pretty sad place to go. But I'm like that. But leaps and bounds are not sustainable. They don't reinforce anything other than failure because you can't sustain them. But steps are sustainable, and you know what? They reinforce success because they're positive. Now, why am I on this leap and bounds thing? Because that's what we want. We want big bumps instead of just disciplined steps. We want huge moves instead of just being faithful and going slow and doing the right thing. You see, sometimes we get ahead of God when we do the leap and bound thing. Sometimes we leave God out of the planning when we do the leaps and bound thing and the flashy and the overflowing. Instead, sometimes we just have to slow down and say, God, what do you want? Leaps and bounds are flashy and they're dynamic and they're bigger in life. But you know what? They're like that losing 10 pounds in 10 days. Congratulations, but you won't sustain it. And you will feel worse after the fact because you didn't take good, faithful steps. Steps, however, are small. They're not flashy. They're not celebrated. A lot of people don't go, wow, that was awesome step. But it's amazing how that over a period of time, people can see huge changes in your life. And usually it's family and friends, co-workers. If you really give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if many of you did, boy, in the middle of your life, you were just not living for God, and then you gave your heart to God. That was a leap and bound moment. But, you know, it's cool because they measure that by the immediate. But, you know, too many of us have had a good life for so long that we really don't think there's anything dynamic about what we're doing. Are you kidding me? God is measuring you by simply being faithful, not by these big parties or big flashy leap and bound things that you've done. So let's sustain those things. There was a small town up in Kansas years ago that had a huge explosion in a grain elevator. And they found out later that the reason for that was termites had gotten in there. And of course, had eaten on the support joist of that thing, and the whole thing crumbled. Over a long, slow, uneventful, unseen, not detected by anybody, termites, just one bite at a time, had taken all of that down. Small but powerful. Let me read you a verse of Scripture out of Zechariah. The reason this is so cool is because it's on our Pentecostal evangel. Verse 6 through 10 in chapter 4 says, so he said to me, there was this angel talking, giving a vision to Zechariah. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Who are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. So come on, let's start and think. Let's get the picture in there. Mighty mountain, level ground. How's that going to change? All right? And then in verse 7, in verse 8, he says, then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. And then he says, who despises the day of small things? Little bitty steps. He says, men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now, there's a lot of imagery that needs to go into this scripture to really make it applicable. I'm not going to go there, but I'm just telling you, it's important to reinforce one thing. You may think it's small. You may think it's no big deal. You may think, okay, it was just one more scripture than I've done before, one more minute in prayer. I spent one more time at prayer. You know, it just seemed like you stretched just a little bit, but it wasn't that big a deal. Nobody came up and said, wow, I noticed you prayed 10 hours today versus, you know, it was only 10 more minutes. But I'm going to tell you, over a period of time, it's going to accomplish huge things in your life because it's just a little step and it's progressively going somewhere. But here is what you and I are going to need. We're going to need patience. Man, every human I know wants it now. We want it right now. You know, we used to say, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. Well, in the technology that we're here after today, it's here today, gone today. I mean, things are moving so fast and we want things so quickly. We want things to be so successful so fast. We want the immediate. We want to take a pill, and it happens. Take a pill, the pain goes away. Take a pill, I lose weight. Boom, boom, boom. And you know what? We have lost the gift of taking small steps that lead us to great results. And that's what we've got to get back to. We love quick and instant. We love big and flashy because it does a lot in a short amount of time. You just can't shortcut the will of God. in the plan of God. You can't go around what he wants to do and take a shortcut, because that shortcut's going to lead to frustration. We have to do it the way he wants us to, just one step at a time. Psalms 37:23, again, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. How many of you remember playing Mother May I? Come on, help me here. Yeah, Mother May I. You're sitting there, you know, and you're asking, and you're just like, Mother May I? You know, yes, you may. I mean, well, sometimes, you know, we just want to go, really, God, I got to go through all of these things. Can we just kind of take off? Can we just kind of run? Can we just kind of go for it? Doesn't it scare you when people meet at Thanksgiving and want to get married at Christmas? Does that not freak you out a little bit? I don't think you've had enough time to kind of invest in this thing. And, you know, it's the same thing as people wanting to lose 10 pounds in a week. You need to rethink that. Something up here doesn't compute. I don't know that you can get there, you know, but we like that. We like the shortcut. We like the quick fix. We like to rush into things. And you know what? It causes Christian casualties. We need just to go slow and steady. Not because it is the only way to go, because sometimes it speeds up. Sometimes there's a revival happening. You can't keep track of what God's doing. Sometimes God gives you so much you can't consume it. Praise God for those moments. But those moments aren't for your progress. It's for what he's doing right then. But they will lead you somewhere if you put some steps to it and make sure that you go just one step at a time. Well, God has designed the snail to slither, it said, the snake to crawl, and the racehorse to run. But sometimes it's not about who gets there first or how fast. It's about taking the appropriate steps to get there. So let's get out of the competition mode and just decide that we're going to take the right steps. So we come to this conclusion. What is your next step? Let's go back to this morning. God just gave us a great time of just being in his presence. So was that so that we could just be excited? So that we could just be stirred for the moment? No, that was so that we could have a foundation for something he wants us to do. So now we just need to find out what is that next step. And it could be anything. I don't want to go down the road of suggestion. I just know that it's something that he wants to do. What's the next step in your spiritual journey? What is the next step that you want him to do? So the questions to get there is, again, what do you want? Where do you want to go? How do you want to get there? It's a good thing to plan. That's okay. Just get your plan out and say, God, here we go. You do remember that it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. You remember that? It was one board at a time, one nail at a time. For how long? 120 years. And how many opportunities for disappointment, discouragement, and just, hey, I've had enough of this, did he have? How much opposition did he have? A lot. I mean, you know, and he was doing something that he had never, ever, and nobody in his life, there was no other examples to follow. You know what? All he did was just, he was obedient to God. And God supplied every step of the way what he had decided that he wanted to do and he was supposed to do for the Lord. And God stepped in. So let's end with this. Let's talk about some things that we probably can do. What about if we took some steps from just attending church and just attending small groups and before church groups and in Bible studies, just steps from attending to being in ministry, to now that we're actively involved in ministry, not just hanging out hearing, but now we're a part of the doing. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a lot of help around here. We need a lot of servants. We need people to be in ministry. No offense, but we need people not to just attend our services, but we need them to be a part of why these services exist. We need greeters to teach people when they come through the door. We need people that will serve in Sunday school classes and those before church classes, I should say, and teach everything from kids to adults. We need people that will go and bring people in with an umbrella, a bond above and beyond. We need people to greet them in the front yard. We need ushers. We need all kinds of stuff. There's a place for ministry. So could we just take some steps from just attending to ministering? Another thing is this. Can we take steps from just observing to participation? Watching and just being, this is really cool, I think it's awesome, to being involved. You know, there's some of you, and I just love it. You know, Glenn and Lita haven't been here very long, and I saw Glenn up here one day with a guitar. I said, what are you doing? I didn't even know he played guitar. I thought maybe he stole someone's guitar. That's a lie, Glenn. I knew better than that. But I thought it was cool. He hadn't been here very long, and he moved. You know, he'd been back from Paul's Valley, and now he's playing in the worship team. There's something for you to do. Go from just watching to participating. The last thing is this. Instead of needing to and wanting to, let's take the first step. I can stand here all day and say, I need to do that. I need to do that. I really want to do that. I mean, I think, you know, I have no problem. I think God wants me to do that too. You know, I think God has laid this on my heart. Well, good. Let's take a step and do it. Let's go. Too many of us are worried that we're going to fail. Too many of us are worried about where it's going to be received or not. Too many of us, we worry about too many things. We just need to be obedient. Because you know what? If you want to that bad and you have identified that you need to, I think God's in it. You know, regardless of what it is. So let's take the first step to do that. Let me read these off and then we're going to finish tonight. In your marriage, are you taking any steps to improve your marriage? Spiritual growth. What are you planning on doing to grow spiritually? In your finances, do you have a plan for your money? Are you telling your money what to do, or is your money telling you what to do? Relationships. What steps are you taking to invest in others? What about disciplines in your life? What can you do right now to be the better you that you want to be? What about in ministry? What first step could you take to put yourself in the position to be in ministry? And even things in your neighborhood. What could you do to reach out to your neighbors? Again, Psalms 37. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall. I love the image that all of us love it too. We see it on our little videos and everything on our phone and everything from YouTube to those old family films. Remember the Super 8s and all that stuff? Yeah, that's the generation I came from. The little camera that looked like, you know, a radio TV station on your shoulder had those things. But we'd take pictures of our kids, and man, they'd get up and they'd try to walk and they'd stumble and they'd just look crazy and they'd wobble everywhere and they'd fall flat on their face and they'd get up and go again and they learn how to scoot instead of walk and all kinds of stuff, and we think it's cute and wonderful. But you know what? They're first steps. But they always crash and burn. They always get hurt. You're sitting there walking. You're literally almost just walking right beside him going, don't go there. There's a sharp corner. That's the coffee table. It's sharp. Don't, you know, and we walk like that. I just have this picture that that's what God does with us when we start taking those steps of things that we really don't feel real comfortable in because they're not in the little area we've always stayed. We've kind of left the herd. You know, our comfort zone is over here. Here's where we feel really, really comfortable. Now we're kind of a little in unfamiliar territory. I just feel like God's just walking along. Say, wait a minute, here comes a coffee table. Be careful. And that sounds ridiculous to you, but I believe with all my heart that that's how you start taking first steps. You quit worrying about whether you're going to fall. You're just so eager to take that next step. Because you know what? You want to walk. You know what walk leads to? It leads to running. Yeah, you can get somewhere pretty quick, but there's still steps. Even though it's called running, there's steps. So let's take those steps. Stand with me tonight. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. We're going to sing a couple of songs just to remind us of where all these steps come from. There's a place called the cross. And Jesus took several steps down that lonely road, dragging his cross, being beaten and humiliated. But every step was for us. Every step he took him closer to something that he did not want. There is no way that we can be convinced that Jesus was looking forward to being crucified outside of one fact. And that is that he knew that it was going to purchase freedom from you and I from sin. But every step was a grueling step. It wasn't a comfort step. It wasn't a step where he said, I'm looking forward to the new progressive moment of this. I can't wait. This is going to be awesome. No, it was grueling. It was painful. It was humiliating. But he took every step that he needed to go all the way to the cross. And it was at the cross where he bought the price for you and I. And now the steps he wants us to take are not steps of shame and humiliation. We're not carrying a huge, horrible, splinter-driven cross. Instead, we are looking and headed toward God's will, step by step. Father, I pray the next few moments as we sing this song, God, that you would just lift us, that you would just release us, God, that we can see these steps that you want us to take. Many of them have already been identified in our hearts. We know exactly what the first step is going to be. I already know where I want to go, but God, now just help me to make that first step, identify that first step, and take that first step. We ask all that in Jesus' name. As we worship you, as we sing this song, as we embrace the cross, oh God, I pray that we will take steps toward you to love you, to serve you, and to minister with you in Jesus' name.